All right. 1 Samuel chapter 26, if we can turn there this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 26. And I'll read the whole chapter for us, I think. 1 Samuel 26. I'll start reading in verse 1. And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakalah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakalah, which is before Jeshimon by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his hosts, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and, behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster, but Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once, and I'll not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? And David said furthermore, As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away. And no man saw it nor knew it, neither awakened, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of an hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, Answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, Who art thou that criest to the king? And David said to Abner, Art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. And Saul knew David's voice and said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, It is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore, I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go, serve other gods. Now, therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one doth herd a partridge in the mountains, a partridge in the mountains. Then said Saul, I have sinned, return, my son David, for I'll no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, behold, the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord rendered to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into mine hand today, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. And then Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you for the privilege once again to read your word and share this time together. And Father, I pray that you would quicken us now as only you can by your Spirit, that we would receive that which you have planned for each one of us today. We acknowledge we're here by divine appointment, and we're expecting and looking forward to, Lord, how you're going to speak to us, what you're going to show us. And at the end of it all, may you be glorified and your will done. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 21, and some of us have heard this before, Saul made this comment, I have played the fool. I have played the fool. That comment was very true, what he said about himself. It had started many years earlier, though. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we won't take time to go there this morning. Most of us probably know the story, how Saul had been given the job to eliminate all of the Amalekites. And he hadn't done that. He'd gone close, but not all. God was not pleased with his disobedience. Samuel the judge went to him, the prophet went to him and said, Saul, bad news. God says he's going to take away the throne. You have forfeited it because you disobeyed what God asked you to do. So at that point, Saul knew that he was going to lose the throne one day. It was no surprise to him from then on that there was going to be someone who would be a replacement for him. You think about David. David had been a blessing to Saul and to the nation of Israel. It was David who'd stood up to Goliath, the giant, and had killed Goliath. And he was the one that God used to bring a victory there. And the people were blessed, and Saul was blessed. And then around that time, Saul was having trouble with an evil spirit. And so he employed David to play the harp. As he played the harp, the evil spirit would depart from Saul and he'd be back at peace and quiet again. And so David was a great blessing in that way to the nation and to Saul. And the Bible tells us that David behaved himself wisely wherever he went and whenever he went in and out. He was always behaving himself wisely before the Lord. The problem began when there'd been some battles. Have a look in chapter 18. When I say the problem began, the conflict that Saul began to develop with David, Saul already had a problem. He'd been disobedient and God had said we're going to take away the throne at some time. But in chapter 18, 1 Samuel chapter 18, in verse 6, it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his ten thousands. And notice the next comment there, verse 8, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands, and what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. That was the turning point, as it were, between Saul and David. Saul now became envious of David, and he realized that this is going to be the one that God is going to put in my place. Problems. Verse 28, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. Okay, important to remember that. Saul knew that the Lord was with David. You'd think, why then would he try and kill him? Why would he be that foolish? As he admitted, I've been a fool. Why would he do that? Saul knew it was going to be David. You have a look in chapter 23. 1 Samuel 23. And Saul has been trying to kill David, and David's been on the run, and he meets with Jonathan there in verse 16. Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also. And that's what it says, Saul my father knoweth. Jonathan, this close friend of David, who was the son of Saul, Jonathan was, he came out to see him and he said, listen, we know and I know and my father knows, he knows that you are going to be the next king. That didn't help his relationship with David. He was already envious, he was already upset, he was already jealous of David because of the praise that he had received when they came back from fighting the Philistines, going through the various towns, and everybody's praising David, and they were praising Saul as well, but not to the same degree. And Saul couldn't handle that. You know, sometimes that can be a problem in our lives, can't it? Someone else seems to be getting all the recognition. How come they don't notice me? Well, that's all right. Do it as unto the Lord. Amen. But I've done all these things. So what? Who's done them? You or the Lord? Anyway, there's a problem there. Chapter 24. Chapter 24 and verse 16. And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. David had the opportunity at that point to kill Saul. They'd gone into the cave, and hiding in the cave, Saul went into the cave to relieve himself, and David's men wanted to kill Saul. They said, this is it, this is the opportunity we've been looking for, we can kill him and it's all done. David said, well, first of all, he cut a little bit off the robe of Saul, and then his heart smote him that he'd done that. And he said, I can't touch the Lord's anointed. Men, forget it. We're not going to touch him. And they waited for Saul to go out, and then what we read took place. And Saul said, listen, I know well that thou shalt surely be king. At that point, you'd say, Saul, stop chasing David. You know he's going to be king. Stop doing it. But did he stop? No. No, he didn't. He didn't stop. Well, we get back to chapter 26. Finally, I guess, as it were, Saul came to himself. in that verse 21 again, he said, I've played the fool and I've erred exceedingly. It's interesting, isn't it? Saul knew God's will. He knew he would lose the throne and that David would reign. He defined himself pretty well. I have played the fool. And I would say here's the simple definition of a fool. I'm sure there's others, but here's one. Someone who knows and doesn't do the will of God, they're a fool. Or someone who knows the will of God and still tries to change God's will, they're fools as well. Saul, do you think David will be king one day? Sure, yeah, the Lord's with him. Yeah, he'll be king. So why are you trying to kill him? Why are you wasting all this time with all your soldiers and going around? Why are you doing all this? Because I'm envious of him. I've got a pride issue. Whatever else it was that was driving him. He's a fool. He knew the will of God, but didn't want to do it. Didn't want to submit to the will of God. And how many people are like that? They know the will of God. They know what the word of God says. And yet, we're not going to submit to it. We're going to try and change it. This will be different. I'll be able to, and on it goes, doesn't it? Ever seen that? I want to look this morning at some of the things that the Bible says about fools. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about fools. Obviously, it's in contrast to wisdom, and Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And so there's over 80 verses in Proverbs, we won't look at them all this morning, that deal with that, what a fool is or what is foolish. It's a lot of verses, isn't it? And God obviously has some interest in that. We'll just look quickly at a couple of verses here. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll look at a few verses and other aspects of being a fool this morning, but we'll start in the book of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1. Notice what verse 7 says. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to know what God has to say about it. Don't want to know. In Proverbs 13 it says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. A fool is someone who says like Saul, I know what the word of God is, but I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to get David. That's what I'm going to do. You won't get him, Saul. He's going to be the next king. I'll get him, all right. It's like, I think a little bit you've heard the term, the insanity of sin. That's Saul. He's a fool. Saul, you're a fool. Well, he finally admits it. You have a look in chapter 15 of Proverbs in verse 5. Just bearing in mind what it says there in chapter 1. 15 verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent or wise. Young people, you listen to what your parents have to say to you, okay? There's wisdom in that. Oh, well, I've arrived. It's like Brother A.S. said in his letter, didn't he? He said a lot of those youth who they'd known from children are now in the teen years and now they've become smart. That whole teenage business is something that's developed in relatively recent years. It's created a section in our society called teenagers. And teenagers, basically, they do their own thing because that's what you do when you're a teenager. Yeah, that's what happens. God says, no, listen, don't be like that. Don't be like that. A fool despises his father's instruction. My dad can't tell me what to do. You're a fool. You're a fool. God says you are. It's not me. So you're having a go. No, I'm just quoting what the scriptures say. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent or wise. There's wisdom in that. So there's an area of a fool. Just don't want to listen. I'm not going to listen. Well, come back to chapter 12, Proverbs chapter 12. Similar to what we've already seen. Verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. I know what I'm doing. Who do you think you are? Now, just a minute. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. If I look at the scriptures, I think what you're doing is maybe not quite right. I know what I'm doing. You're a fool. That's what the Bible says. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. It's a little bit like the book of Judges, isn't it? Where twice it says, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Just do your own thing. That's the world we live in. Do your own thing, as long as it doesn't hurt somebody. Everything we do affects someone. This whole worldly philosophy, as long as it doesn't affect anybody, you can do your own thing. It always affects someone. You see, that's a good way to look at the fool, isn't it? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And God says that's the way it is. Have a look in chapter 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Notice what it says next. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Who do you hang out with? Who's closest to you? Where do you spend your time in your leisure time and all those things? Because if you want to hang out with fools, you'll be destroyed. It's just the way it is. This man in the prison, he said to me, he said, you know, here in the prison, he said, there's murderers and other fellows there. And he said, I spend a bit of time with them. But he said, I find I'm struggling. I said, because the Bible says if you spend your time with fools, you'll be destroyed. You need to walk with wise men. You need to get with other men who want to, you know, talk about God and learn about God. So that's one reason why you're struggling the way you are. Not that you shouldn't speak to those kind of people. We have a responsibility to share the gospel with them. But don't make them your close friends, because you'll be destroyed. They won't affect me. They will. They will affect you. Now, I'll still read my Bible and pray. You won't after a while. Talking to a man yesterday. And, yeah, well, you know, you don't go to church for a while. And, you know, still read and pray, but after a while, you don't do it. Why? Why not? Well, because now you're mixing with fools. When you mix with fools, there's only one way you're going to go. Down. Down. Because if you say to those kind of people, I read my Bible every day, they go, oh, you what? What sort of carry-on's that? Whatever. And after a while, yeah. You don't want to mention you read, then after a while you don't read it. I mean, we're looking at what the Bible says. A companion of fools shall be, not might be. Not might be. No, I'm different. No, you're not. You're the same. We're all the same. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. You think about Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What a difference. He's a wise man. He's not a fool. He's not a fool, that man. You have a look in chapter 26, Proverbs 26. And notice verse 11. How true is this? As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. I won't do that again. You will. Because you're a fool. You will. Go back there. You have a look, and this is something which is so true in chapter 23. And those who've been there and done that know about this one. Proverbs 23. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contention? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? You don't have to be too smart to work out who's behind that one. He goes on and tells us, just in case we didn't know. They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth his colour in the cup, and it moveth itself aright. I just don't even look at it. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. And thine heart shall utter perverse things. Get a little bit of Dutch courage, they call it, and you do all sorts of foolishness. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Is any stupid thing at all? They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. Didn't even feel it. When shall I awake? Notice what it says. I will seek it yet again. A fool is like the dog that returns to its vomit. That's a fool. Why keep going back there? Because they're a fool. They're not wise. They don't listen to what God has to say in his word about those things. They think it won't do them any harm. It'll be fine. And we have a day and age, I could get really mad right now. We have a day and age where we have Christianity condoning drinking. As long, brother, you're judgmental, you're critical. As long as it's in moderation. Yes, like I shared that email I read recently where this church in America has bought a brewery. They've sold the church building. And they're going to make beer now. And they're all going to drink it together, moderately. And then when they sell it, 40% of the profits will go to good works. Still got a question, what about the other 60%? Whose pocket's that going in? I mean, it's to me that is just, I don't know, can't get my mind around it. Unimaginable that Christianity, so-called, to sink to that sort of a level. Is it any wonder the world looks on and laughs and says, what a joke. It really does get me going, that sort of stuff. It's so foolish. It is so foolish. They ought to read that passage there in Proverbs. It is foolishness. Foolishness. When alcohol is promoted, what do you see? Usually some beautiful couple there just sipping away at some little special wine or something. And it's like, this is the life. This is the way you ought to live. And I've often said to my wife and to others, you never see a picture of some miserable, down and out drunk lying in the streets in his own vomit. And saying, this can happen to you too if you want to have a few drinks. No, the devil's very clever, isn't he? He gives this wonderful impression of how great a life it is. And that's why we have this reputation of being in Aussies, all good Aussies have a few beers. Come on, have a few beers with the boys. No, that's foolishness. Foolishness. When shall I awake? Seek it yet again. A fool. It's the dog going back to its vomit. You ever seen that? I've watched it in the past. It's interesting, isn't it? You see the dog there's going, look, 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 look. Spits it out on the ground. Wanders off and then later. Amazing. It's very graphic. But that's what God says. That's a fool for you. They're like that dog going back to his vomit. Foolishness. Oh my. That's some of the verses out of Proverbs. There's some other principles, I think, too, that we'll just touch on, and we maybe already touched on them, but Christians who choose to live in or continue in sin and think everything will be well, they're fools. You say, why is that? Because the book of Galatians tells us, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And yet there are foolish Christians who somehow think that they're going to get around it, as it were. It's fools. It's fools. You think about Luke chapter 12, and the Lord Jesus spoke to a man there in Luke chapter 12. Things were going pretty good for this fellow, actually, humanly speaking. In Luke chapter 12. The Lord Jesus in verse 16 spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Notice what verse 20 says, but God said unto him, thou fool, you fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. God says, if you're laying up treasure on earth, you are a fool. You're a fool. Why? If for no other reason, when you die, you're going to leave more behind. Yeah, but I've got billions of dollars. You know, when, I think it was one of the Rockefellers died. I think it was John Rockefeller died. And someone was talking to his solicitor. I don't know how many solicitors he had. He had probably dozens of them. But he spoke to one of them. Just after he died, and he said, excuse me, he said, I just got a question for you. What's that? He said, how much did Mr. Rockefeller leave behind? And his solicitor said, everything. Everything. Thou fool, you're living for the riches of this world. Don't do that. The Lord Jesus said, lay up treasure in heaven, where rust doesn't corrupt and moths don't eat it and thieves can't break in and steal it. Lay up treasure in heaven. Get out there. Talk to people about the Lord. Live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Get some treasure in heaven. When you get there, they go, the Lord say, here they are. Here they are. Here's the treasures that you've been laying up here in heaven. And we can go on because, you know, Mark says, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The whole world. You think, oh, I've... I had the whole world. Well, no. If you traded that for your own soul, how foolish would that be? Foolishness. Foolishness. You know, other people are fools when they do what the Bible says not to do. In Romans 13, where Paul says, make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh. And yet how many times do Christians make provision for the flesh? Well, I just watch a little bit of this, or I listen to a little bit of that. That's foolish. If you know that that's worldly or not honouring to God, then you are a fool to do it. Because as we said in Galatians, you will reap accordingly. Make not provision for the flesh. That's foolishness. But I guess probably the greatest fool in one sense is Psalm 14 verse 1, where the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. That is a serious fool. That is a serious fool. There is no God. And we won't take time to prove all that. I don't think I need to this morning for those of us who are here. But that is a serious fool who says there is no God. Have a look at Matthew chapter 7 and we'll kind of summarise the difference between the wise and the fool, as it were, in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, and we have a look in verse 24. Verse 24 in Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. The Lord Jesus makes it real simple for us here. The wise person is he that hears his sayings and doeth them. The foolish person is the one who hears them and doeth them not. It's really that simple. That's what I love about the Bible. It is that simple. It is. Just do what the Lord tells you. You're a wise person. And you'll be like that house built on the rock. You will not be moved. You don't do what God tells you to do, you'll be that house on the sand, and great will be your destruction. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you for this brief opportunity this morning to consider this business of a fool. Saul admitted that he was a fool. He should have admitted that from the start, not at the end. And we know the latter end of Saul even went out and finished up committing suicide. That was the result of his foolishness. But Lord, we've touched on various things this morning, and Lord, I pray as we look finally there what the Lord Jesus said, we'd see it all in simplicity. The wise person does the word and will of God. The foolish person ignores it to their own great destruction and problems. So, Father, help us all to be wise. Lord, help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. Now, Father, you know our hearts this morning. If there's anybody here this morning, Lord, they're still a fool in the sense that they've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. Father, may it be this day that they would repent of that. They would turn to you and say, God, I acknowledge this morning I am a sinner. I am not able to make myself fit for heaven, but I believe what your word says, that the Lord Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for my sins. I believe according to the word of God he was raised from the dead, and I'm asking you, God, today, please forgive me, make me one of your children. And Father, I thank you that the gospel is that simple for those who would humble themselves and present themselves to you. Because you've said, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, if there's anybody this morning who needs to be saved, that they would settle it before this day is over. And for God's people, Lord, we might hearken to what you've told us. And we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.